Now, this is a picture of my brothers and sisters when we were little. And I'm the cute one, just in case you weren't sure. But it's interesting, my sister, we're in the middle. We have the same nose because we have Grandma Wong's nose. And this is another picture of my parents and us. And I was looking at this, I'm like, do I look like my father or do I look like my mother? You know, when we talk about he looks like his father or mother, it's more than just physical appearances. It can mean many things. So if we look at this next picture, we see that I am like my father because I like, we go fishing. And because he went fishing, we go fishing. And so I'm just like my father. And I still remember this fishing trip because we caught so many fish and they're really big. And we had our old, it's a wood boat. That's actually a wood boat back there. And so I'm like my father because I like to fish. And we do many things together. Now, today's verse comes from Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. See, creation reaches its climax on the sixth day. On the sixth day, God fills the planet with animals, all sorts of animal life, and then he creates life. He creates man. Man is the crown jewel of creation because God created man in his image. See, scientists have classified millions of different species of animals, but there's only one unique species called Homo sapiens or human beings. See, all living things were made by God after their own kind, according to their nature. So when God made zebras, he made them like other zebras. When God made monkeys, he made them like other monkeys. But when he made man and woman, it says he made us after his image. So today we're going to talk about, explore what that means. Look at this slide. Image of God, in Latin is called Imago Dei. And the Hebrew word is Tselem. And if you look in a Bible dictionary, image or Tselem means figuratively an illusion, a resemblance, hence a representative figure, especially an idol. Idols were made to be pictures or resemble whatever God that idol represented. So God made us in his image, but if you look at the Greek gods, look at this slide. The Greeks made their gods in their image. You understand the difference? God made us in his image, but the Greeks made their gods in the image of man. Zeus, Hermes, Hera, they looked like human beings. And they acted like human beings. If you know the story, their gods were what? Prideful, lustful. You know, Zeus would come down to be intimate with the earthly women. They were jealous and they were angry. They just acted like humans because they were made in the image of human beings. But God made us in his image. He made us perfect and righteous and holy. So if we look in our sermon outline, we see our first thought is, what does it mean to be made? What does it mean to be made in the image of God? What is the Bible telling us? The first thing we see is that we resemble God. We resemble God. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. See, the physical matter of Adam's body came from the ground. God shaped the man out of the dust of the earth. The name Adam, Adam means taken out of the ground, or Adam can mean dirt. That's what Adam means. And he shaped us from the dust of the ground. He gave us physical form. In the same way, animals were formed out of the dust of the ground. That's why we are all, if you remember science, we're all what? Carbon-based life forms. We all living things on this planet, because we're made out of the dust of the ground, which explains why when we die, when humans die, when animals die, they go back to the dust of the earth. Our bodies become dust. But see, God added a personal touch. After he shaped man, he breathed into him. And what did he breathe into him? I believe he breathed his spirit into us. And when he breathed his spirit into us, we became living beings with a living soul. While our physical bodies will one day return to the dust of the earth, our souls will live on in eternity. That's why when we die, we don't cease to exist. We go to heaven or we go to hell, because God breathed into us. So the image of God does not represent our material bodies. It represents the immaterial part of humanity. The immaterial, the things you can't touch. It sets human beings apart from animals, from the animal world in three ways. Okay, the first way is mentally. Human beings are created with a rational and willful mind. That means we can choose. We can reason. We can think about things and we can make decisions according to what we want to do. And this is a reflection of God's intellect and freedom. Anytime anybody invents a machine or writes a book or paints a landscape or enjoys a symphony or calculates a sum or names a pet, he or she is proclaiming that we are made in God's image. We're also made in the image of God morally. Human beings were created in righteousness and perfect innocence, a reflection of God's holiness. Our conscience or our moral compass was given to us by God. It's a part of our spiritual DNA. Whenever someone writes a law or recoils from evil or praises good behavior or feels guilty, he or she is confirming that we are made in the image of God. Even atheists have a moral compass. Now think of it. Many atheists would say, well, we get our morality from our religion, but atheists don't have religions. They don't believe in God, but yet they have a morality. They know the difference between right and wrong. I was talking to an atheist, and we were having a discussion, and I said I was a pastor, and he said he was an atheist. Well, that's the beginning of the discussion. And after we talked for a while, he looks at me, he goes, I don't need some book to tell me what's right and what's wrong. So I looked back at him, I said, well, why do you even care? Why do you even care? If you don't believe in God, there's no morality, there's no right or wrong, why do you even care? You should do whatever you want. He's like, oh, I never thought of that before. See, he has a conscience because God made him in his image. Socially, we are made in the image of God. Humanity was created for fellowship. God was the first fellowship mankind had. Adam and God were in the garden. Fellowship reflects God's triune nature. We believe that God is one, but he reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they have a fellowship with each other. In Eden, our primary relationship with God, but when God looked at it, he says, it's not good for man to be by himself. So he made woman so man would not be alone. Every time someone marries, every time someone makes a friend or hugs a child, every time someone attends church, he is saying, I am made in the image of God. I am seeking fellowship. So we resemble God in the immaterial things. Now the second thing we see is being made in the image of God is this. We represent God. We don't just resemble God, we represent God. In the ancient times, in the New Testament times, an emperor like Caesar would put statues like this all over his kingdom, all over his land. And they would resemble him. And they would represent his reign, saying, I control this land, this statue, or you look at coins with their image on it. These images declare that these areas were under this emperor's power and reign. Well, see, God made us, and he breathed his spirit into us so we would represent him, and he wants us to fill and multiply and fill the earth. So God placed men and women as living images of him to represent his reign. So the Hebrew word for image can also mean physical representative. That means we are physical, we represent God. Now it does not mean we are the physical representation of God. Okay, God is a spirit, he has no body. It means that we physically represent God in different parts of the land declaring his glory. It's like an ambassador. An ambassador is a representative. So look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're reconciling people to God. We come in God's name. We are God's hands and feet and voice. Come and be reconciled to God. See, our expanded responsibility is to be ambassadors of a living God to this lost world, to declare that God's glory, declare God's reign, to declare God's love. Your goal is to faithfully to reflect and radiate God's image in this world. to say to the world, God loves you. God wants you to come home. Be reconciled to God. That's what the image of God means. We resemble God and we represent God. So the question then is, why did God make human beings? It's our second thought. Why did God make us? In fact, the old question is, why do I exist? Where do I come from? And so the first thing we see is that God made us so that God could love us. God can love us. Why did God create us with a soul and spirit? Because He was lonely? Did He need love? God is not lonely. God does not need anything. He created us because He loves us. He wants to enjoy us and our fellowship. We are an expression of His love. After all, why do people have children? Children do not pay you back for anything that you do for them. You know, they don't give you $1 million when they start working. You know, they barely cook you dinner. They barely clean up after themselves. You know, they're a lot of work. Why do we have children? Well, yesterday I was at my daughter's house and my granddaughter, Abby, had taken a beautiful 3.5-hour nap. I mean, this was like a record. And so she woke up happy. She woke up, and as soon as she saw her father, she starts laughing. And then I go and say hi to her, and she sees me, and she starts laughing. And it just fills you with joy. It fills you with love. We enjoy them. Even though we don't need anything from them, they fill us with love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God made you to love you, and He's drawing you with His love. God has always loved you. You are not a pet. God did not make you to be a pet. You know, I was thinking about all the pets we have had. I've had dogs. We had like 50 rabbits once because they started having babies like crazy. We had tortoises. We have goldfish, but they're just pets. God breathed His Spirit into you because He wants a relationship with you. Man was made with love, to know love, to be loved, and to give love. That's what separates you from all the animal. Because God loves you, He wants to bless you. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground, because I am blessing you. I am giving you this gift. See, God wants us to experience creation. He wants us to experience the same joy of creating by having children and having grandchildren and filling the earth with people. The family is the first form of government that God instituted in this world. That's why He made us male and female. But God also wants us to experience the joy of responsibility and work. So He says, you rule over the earth. You subdue the earth. You build dams. You create towers. You use electricity and oil to make electricity. You farm and raise crops. You subdue the earth and use it for your benefit and your blessing. God made us so that He could love us. The second thing is we see is that God made us so we could know God. Man was created with a conscience, a spirit to know and communicate with God. It allows us to know God personally. It's what separates us from all the other animals and makes us human. That's why our relationship with God is often described in the Bible as a marriage. It's often described as a parent and a child. We are sons and children of God. It's often described as a friendship. It's often described as a family of the family of God. God wants us to come home to live with Him. And that's how intimate and personal God wants us to be with Him. He made us so that we can know Him. We see in Acts 17:26, from one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. God made you to seek Him out. God made us to seek Him and to know Him and to love Him and to worship Him. No other creature on earth worships God because they don't have the capacity, but men and women, we can worship God. We have the spiritual homing beacon in us, in our DNA, calling us to come home, calling us to seek God and worship Him. You think about salmon. salmon go out to the sea after being born in the rivers. After 2 or 3 years, they have this homing beacon that calls them home back to the rivers where they were born. I was reading about this picture. This picture is the swallows of Capistrano. Every year, these swallows return to nest in the what do they call it? The mission at San Juan Capistrano to build their nest and to reproduce because they are driven by their nature. Excuse me. We are made in the image of God. Our nature draws us back to God. But when we don't seek Him, when God does not fill our lives become empty. We end up with this God-sized empty hole that we try to fill with someone or something else greater than us. We might idolize famous people. We might wear their jewelry or we might wear their jerseys because we want to idolize famous people. Or we might turn to power or profit or pleasure to satisfy that emptiness in our soul. When these things leave you empty, we try to fill the hole with drugs and alcohol because we know we want something or someone greater than us, but we're looking in all the wrong places. See, without God in our lives, where our lives are filled with chaos, conflict, and confusion. But with God in our lives, we are filled with His grace and glory and goodness. Isn't it amazing that God wants you to love Him and to that He can love you and bless you? Isn't it amazing that this is what the Creator of the universe wants? He wants you to know His love and to experience His love. He wants to bless you and He wants you to love Him. So why try finding meaning in anything else in life? We find it in our Creator who loves us. The third thing we want to talk about today is that we find our identity in God. You want to discover who you are, you find it in God, not in anything else. See, many people today identify themselves as Republicans and Democrats, Libertarians or Independents. Many people identify themselves with causes like civil rights or the right to life or the right to choose or save the whales or global warming. People ask me, what do I stand for? I say, I'm a conservative, evangelical Christian who loves steak. That's who I am. That's my identity. In fact, my daughter asked me, I said, what do you want for Thanksgiving? Because we're doing the cooking. Steak. We want steak. They didn't want turkey. They want steak. My daughters are just like me. But see, there's an identity crisis in the world today. People are struggling to find themselves because they're looking in all the wrong places and their lives are left empty. So maybe they'll turn to counseling or psychotherapy or drugs or they'll act out in violent ways. Maybe they'll turn to self-help books or religion. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Because they did not glorify God and acknowledge Him, nor were they grateful for Him, they turned to creation, to worship creation. Now, in Jesus' time, they had gods of animals, gods of men, all sorts of gods. Today, we worship money and power and fame and pleasure, things that God created. But they are not the Creator. When we worship something else besides God, we end up sinning against God. The image of God is broken in us. It's disfigured. That's why God cannot have us in His presence because we are sinful and not righteous. See, God made us male and female. Those are godly ordained roles to be male and female. He did this so that we can form families and fill the earth. But when we go against God's plan for us to be male and female, it distorts God's plan. It denigrates. I'm sorry. I can't think today. It denigrates His image in us. You know, I'm shocked at society today. Society is trying to make boys act like girls. Society is trying to make girls act like boys. I mean, we're even trying to redefine what a man is and what a woman is. And people go to extremes thinking that, well, I was born a man, but I think I should be a woman. We're going against God's ordained roles for society. Now they're adopting gender neutrality as a new norm. You don't pick You don't say you're male or female, you're gender neutral. I don't know about you, but I'm a male. And I'm glad that my wife's a female. God says male and female. And see, when we try to redefine what God wants us to do, when we go against creation, we're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you don't know what's good for me. God, you don't know anything. I know what I want. God made us male and female in His image. Because we are made male and female in God's image, we have equal worth and equal value. But because we are made male and female, God ordained different roles for men and women. So we are different. We're different physically, mentally, and emotionally. There's a reason for that. I read the story about two men who were talking about the secret of a long and happy marriage. One man said, "Our marriage is built on trust and understanding. My wife doesn't trust me and I don't understand her." Because we're made different, and that's okay. That's okay. God made this different so that we could have strong families with happy, healthy, and holy children instead of confused families who don't know if they're a boy or a girl. See, when you remove technology from this world, when you take technology away, you realize that men and women are very different, and that's how God made us. He made us for a reason and a purpose. During Hurricane Harvey in Houston, this picture came out on the Associated Press, and this picture went viral all over social media. It's a picture of a woman cradling a child, her baby, as a man carries them to safety among the floods. And it's interesting is many people criticize this picture as toxic masculinity. Oh, that poor little weak woman had to be saved by this big, strong guy. And it just feeling the stereotypes that men should be men and women should be women. But that's how God made us. The picture reminds us of the reality that men and women are different, and those differences serve society for the better. Men are the stronger sex. And when crises such as these happen, it offers men to use their strength in service to others, to be heroes and protectors. I just did a wedding recently, and I said, you're supposed to be your wife's hero and your wife's protector. You be the man. But the photo also captures the sacrifice that women make to bring new life into the world. The woman puts her own safety at risk to stay behind with her vulnerable child. In the picture, she grasped her child with the intensity of only a mother can hold her, with intensity, strength, and grace. And the child is perfectly at peace with her mother. This photo reminds me of the nativity scene of Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, of silent masculine strength and maternal beauty and innocence in a child. See, when men and women work together, unthreatened by their differences, God is glorified. It's a beautiful sight. It's for the benefit and blessing of mankind. This is God's plan. God made us in His image. He made us male and female in His image. We are the crown jewel of creation. And even though we sinned against God and disobeyed Him, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt. In fact, God paid for you twice. He created you, and then Jesus had to die for you. But we are worth saving in God's eyes because we are made in His image. Isn't it time to make a commitment to get your soul and spirit right with God? Isn't it time to know God as your personal Lord and Savior? Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put on your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, the good news is God wants you to come home, and He wants to redeem you by sending Jesus to pay for your sin debt. And when you trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord, He begins to restore the original image into your life. He's creating a new self. We get rid of the old self. We put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. You were made that way. God wants to restore that in you. Jesus died so that you could be restored. But you have to take off your old self, You need to put on your new self, a conscious decision to trust in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, our value does not come by what we do or what we think we are, but by whose we are. And we belong to God. Your identity is directly tied to your relationship with God. If you don't know God, you don't know who you are. Do you look like your Father in heaven? Do you look like our Father in heaven? Are you putting your clothes on of Jesus Christ and looking like Jesus more and more each day? If you don't look like your Father, you don't belong to Him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You made us. You made us out of the dust of the earth, and then You breathed Your Spirit and gave us a living soul, a living spirit, so that we can know You and we can know that You love us and You just wanted to bless us. That's why You did this, Lord. I pray, Father, if there's someone here today who does not know You, that they would realize that, man, the Creator made me and He wants to know me and love me and bless me. I want to know You, Father. I want to know You and love You and worship You and experience everything You want to give us. Father, we worship You today and acknowledge that You are God and King. And we need You. We need Your Son in our lives. We need the Spirit to empower us. We need You to know how to live each day for Your glory. Father, I pray that we will not just resemble You, but we will represent You to this lost world, that we will stand up and say, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, here to tell You that God loves You. Won't You come home? Father, is there someone here who needs to get their spirit and soul aligned with You? I pray they do so now and trust in You. I pray that my brothers and sisters who may have let this truth that we're made in Your image slide and take it for granted, instead help us to embrace it and glorify You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. And if you're ready to trust in the Lord, please come forward. If you're ready to recommit your life to the Lord, come forward. Let's stand and sing.